Welcome back to Cognac Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And we are back for another week. Thank you guys for joining us again. We're Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. We're cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. Oop, shout out to me for remembering to say it at the beginning.
Right? It's never there.
It's never there. You have to wait till the end. So, yeah. Nothing much to talk about this week as far as announcements or whatever. So we can get straight into it. It's Jade's turn. What do you have for me this week?
So if you don't know, Taylor, would this be our last Black History Month episode? Does Black History Month end next week? Is it March?
Let's see. Yeah, it does. That's because next Tuesday is March 1st.
Okay, we're
on Tuesday, next Wednesday. Y'all hear it on Wednesday.
It's March.
It's March.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I chose to do a Black History special episode.
Okay.
Something I've been doing for a long time. It's a little different than what we usually do.
Okay.
I like Taylor, different. Today, I want to talk about reparations. I don't think it'll be that long episode, but I think it'll be very entertaining. I think it'll spark a lot of conversation. Mm-hmm. I think it is like one of America's favorite topics to debate. It'll be one of our favorite topics to debate today. So yes, hopefully I can educate and entertain everybody with a little Black history.
I need mine.
Yeah, me too.
I need my 40 acre and a mule.
Oh Lord, we'll get to it.
Okay.
Can't talk about reparations without talking about that mule.
Yeah. It's the mule.
Me. Now that's what I really want.
Where's my mule?
It's my pet mule. Muley. I'm missing Mule Jr. I'm missing him. But just to clarify, so today I am specifically talking about reparations relating to victims of the Atlantic slave trade as well as their ancestors. So the land slave trade took place in 1783, and specifically, like I said, those in North America. So a lot of other countries did take part in the Atlantic slave trade. You know, Europe played its part in it. But we're specifically talking about reparations that would come from the United States and would pay those who are the descendants of slavery. Okay. There are no living, I feel like people probably know that. But there are no, like, you know, slave people who were slaves alive today, to clarify. So it's a little clarification.
Yeah, because, you know, some annoying motherfucker would be like, what about the Caribbean? I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, I think
talking about this.
That's a big part of it. So I think that there are a lot of people who were victims of slavery, but if your family was like enslaved by Spain and ended up in like the Caribbean, then that is who would like give you reparations. Like the United States would not owe reparations to people who ended up, I think most of the people ended up like in the Caribbean are not from America. I think it's European slavery which would put you there, but don't quote me. But yeah, I think you would be owed reparations from like, I don't know, Great Britain or somebody.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get to it.
Is your drink good?
I don't know. It's better now that there's more vodka than... what is it called? What did I get?
Arsol?
No, it's not.
Arsol is like a poison.
It's not aerosol.
Right, like that's a spray.
It's an aporetto, aporello.
It's aerosol.
Yeah, girl, you get like the final thing I'm doing. Like, what is that, like whippets or something?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, yeah, they're gonna be like, damn, bitch, drugs and conspiracies.
Yeah, I'm gonna
go. Don't do drugs, kids. Don't do drugs.
No, ma'am.
I was just wondering, because I seen you make a face.
Oh, no. No, it's like, so I bought this really expensive liqueur, and I'm trying to drink it away and give it away. So, yeah, it's okay. You should make one, Taylor.
I'll make one afterwards.
Yeah, after a little spritz, people.
I'll make one when we eat dinner.
It tastes like lemon peels. No, I mean orange peels.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we'll get to it. Okay, so basically, there are two main arguments or two main reasons why I feel, and I feel like the internet feels, are like the hallmarks of like why people should be paid reparations, or why, you know, the descendants of slaves should be paid those reparations. And the first thing I want to touch on is the concept of unpaid debt.
Mm-hmm.
So the main concept, which I feel like is not too hard to grasp, is that when people were put into slavery, they were doing a lot of labor that was unpaid for. And this labor helped to generate a lot of wealth, as well as, you know, certain industries like maybe cotton, sugarcane, whatever, could not sustain without this free labor. Mm-hmm. So this is literally like, this call for reparations would solely be the United States paying back those unpaid wages to the descendants of slavery. So like nothing else but the grounds of literally repaying a debt for a bill they never paid.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, like simply labor. So let's get to it. So if you didn't know, initially 400,000 people from Africa, I can't talk today, were brought to North America against their will and forced into slavery. Of course, over the course of slavery, it's said to be about 10 million people were enslaved. So those that have came, died, whatever, over the course of it all, said to be about 10 million people were slaves in the United States.
Okay.
By 1860, there were 4 million slaves still in the United States, which estimated about $1,000 each. So that would make them worth $4 billion, mm-hmm. which would be a whopping $42 trillion today is how much slaves were worth. And to put that into perspective, so in 1860, slaves would have been the largest financial asset owned by the United States. So that $4 billion is more than any bank was worth, more than the railroads were worth, any factories, and that would be the largest financial like asset the United States owned. And I think we are talking about labor, but that in itself can be used as an argument for reparations, because the idea that someone owned me and they were buying and selling me like a commodity and making money off of that, aren't I owed something for that? That someone was literally selling me?
In theory, yeah. And maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but I'm hip because it's like when they abolished slavery, they paid, it's like they paid white people for their slaves. So it's like, so you paid them
for the asset for
their slaves. For their asset, but you didn't pay us for the labor.
Exactly. So you would think that if at one point I was literally valued at $1,000 back then, which I think is like almost like quadruple what it would be today.
Shit.
How does that make sense that I can be sold for $1,000 when my freedom is done and we're saying, hey, that wasn't right, I'm worth zero. And the person who had been selling and moving me, they still have the cash in their pocket.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, so you're telling me I'm worth zero, but you just gave them money for me.
Because
so
yesterday,
clearly I'm not worth zero.
Yesterday it was $42 trillion, but today it's zero.
Yeah.
Make it make sense to me. So that's just one aspect of it. Outside of just the magnitude of money that the asset of slaves alone, the Southern economy depended majority on slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
So for most of the 19th century, the Southern, I guess, wasn't the Southern part of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
The economy was dependent on agriculture, such as things like cotton, tobacco, and sugarcane. And this was made profitable by using slave labor. It's estimated that slaves work to, I guess, well, they're owed about 20.3, I can't talk today. But basically they're saying that slaves, the wages they would be owed for the work they've done as a cumulative will be 20.3 trillion
dollars, y'all.
Cut it, Taylor.
24.3 trillion. I'm not cutting it.
Okay, trillion dollars worth of labor. You're making a marker in my episode. But anyways, but it's a mouthful. 20.3, the three gets you. The 20.3 trillion dollars.
I want to say, I would have just said a little over 20 trillion dollars.
Yeah. No, it's the magnitude, because a 0.3 on a trillion is a lot of money.
What is that?
A million? The 0.3 is a million? So think about that.
That is a lot of money.
So that's the amount of labor they have done in the South that would equate to the wages they're owed, right? So naturally, that money, so again, if they did this much labor, you think about the magnitude of them running this whole Southern economy is ran basically by slave labor. So people profit off of that.
Of course.
So individual families, probably mainly white families, who were profiting off of this, this has like added up to billions of generational wealth from them. From the North and the South have profited from this free labor.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who did the labor for free, nothing comes for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were worth money as slaves. Now it's zero. As well as they're not benefiting off the labor.
Nope.
And these families have.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
We just sitting up here looking crazy.
Right. And not only, right, did slave labor, like, drive the Southern economy, so it built most of the landmarks like we know today. So if you didn't know, the White House, the U.S. Capitol, Harvard Law School, as well as Georgetown University were all built by free slave labor.
Do you remember when white people got so angry because Michelle Obama said that the White House was built by slaves?
Yeah, because
what the fuck is there to be angry about?
Yeah, it was built by slaves.
The truth. And I'm pretty sure it was Michelle Obama. It was Michelle or Barack, one of them. But that's not the point. It's not the point who said it. It was like, they were like, why would you say that? I'm like, because it was.
Yeah, it was built by slaves. Yeah.
It's a fact, Jack.
I don't know what's controversy about that.
It's a fact, Jack.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Like, what happened?
Divisive. I'm like, shut up.
And
y'all just don't like real history. That's the problem.
Yeah, but people like ahead. A certain flavor of it. And I think that, like, Georgetown University will now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they offer scholarships if you can prove, like, you're the direct descendant of a slave who helped build Georgetown. You get to, like, go for free or something.
How does somebody prove that?
They don't have that on, like, Ancestry. Right. So people, like, there is a flaw in it, because when I was doing, like, more research, a way to find out kind of if you are the son of a slave is that slaves weren't counted. I don't know. It's like in the 1860 or, you know, before slaves were free in the census. Mm-hmm. So if your family tree kind of drops off around then and you can follow the plantation, because you can figure out, like, what slaves probably from which owner was, mm-hmm. like, you know, was, like, used to build Georgetown University. So if you can, I don't know, like, track your family to a plantation or a specific family that owned them, and maybe you can do that, but it'd be a lot. And I think a lot of times when people talk about, well, you have to prove your direct descendant, I think that gets, like, really, really tricky. But mm-hmm. I think you do have to prove that, like, yeah, that you were, like, your family helped build Georgetown. And yeah. you get free tuition. And again, like I said, the whole idea of, like, the concept of labor, I don't know how much Georgetown's tuition is, but I don't know if that even adds up.
No, it doesn't.
To how much money they've gained from it. It's like, I don't really know, right?
No, it doesn't. And it's really hard because I feel like what people are missing is that even aside from Georgetown, it's so hard to trace. Like, I can't even, my mother can't even trace things about her mother. Mm-hmm. This is my literal grandmother.
Yeah.
And I remember asking questions. And I remember at one point my mother was like, I don't know if your grandmother has a birth certificate. Like, I don't know anything about anything past her. Because my family's from the deep
that's,
south.
Yeah, that's a
I'm not. Yeah, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. You know, and she was like, I don't, she has some theories or whatever, but she's like, she's from Mississippi and my mom's from Memphis. Mm-hmm. And so they're from, like, the deep south, and they were doing weird shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, some deep south shit. So she's like, no, I don't really have information. Mm-hmm. Like you said, black people weren't really seen as people. So they're just like,
yeah, you can't check the
census. Yeah, they're like, get out and, yeah. and pick. And go be a maid or go take in somebody's kids or pick cotton. But as far as, like, their records, that wasn't kept track of.
Yeah.
And this is literally my grandmother. And her record, we can't, there's no records. There's no records.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. Like, yeah. My mom's family is actually pretty well documented. And I feel like, mm-hmm. I don't know if my mom just has a lot of free time during Black History Month. But, like, basically there's, like, I'm not going to pull up my business out there. But, like, they basically found, like, a unmarked gravesite that apparently has, like, a bunch of my ancestors that were enslaved, and right now they're trying to, like, right the wrongs with that. And
that's crazy.
Like, yeah, so some of my family members actually did, like, a, again, people don't, it's not the same last name, so you're not going to get too far, but they did, like, a TV special and all that about them, like, basically, like, fighting to have the graves marked and, like, the right things to be done. Yeah, so
that's very crazy.
Yeah, so like, on my mom's side, it's actually, I think, like, again, like, my mom's side of the family, like, slavery, like, it was a big plantation. So not, maybe not the census, but there are records probably of, like, slave ownership. Like, they were on, like, a major plantation versus, like, my dad's family is from the south too. I don't have no idea. And also my mom's family didn't stray too far from mm-hmm. where they initially were slaves. So it's a bit easier, but my dad, I couldn't tell you anything past my grandma neither. So
yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. And it's certain people, but that's why it's so crazy when people are like, oh my God, that was so long ago. And it's like, but it wasn't, though. Like, just because if you are a descendant of slavery, you know it wasn't that long ago. And you have all these weird things, you know, going on in your family. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, you're like, wasn't that forever ago? And it's like, no, not really.
Yeah. And the effects really. are lasting because, yeah. like, people say, oh, it wasn't that long ago. But, like, your great-great-granddaddy bought one little tiny house that then sold for $4 million today. And mm-hmm. y'all been eating off that ever since. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, my great-great-granddaddy was a slave. And he was worth negative $1,000, apparently.
So, not the negative.
So what you get? Zero times zero, zero. Zero. But people are like, oh no, slavery, you know, we can't talk about that. The facts of that don't last today. But your whole family's still eating. None of y'all had a decent job since. Y'all been eating off that ever since. Mm-hmm.
Y'all got more than your 40 acres. And y'all just kicking back, like you said, relaxing, having a good old time.
Right.
And meanwhile, we've done episodes about this. Even when black people tried to mm-hmm. pull themselves up, quote, by their bootstraps, y'all words, not mine. Then y'all burned the bitch down.
Right.
Greenwood. So anyway, very moving difficult. On.
Yeah. One last fun fact before we go to the next section. Mm. So if you didn't know, did you know that Wall Street was built by slaves? And it was built by slaves and actually became the biggest like slave marketplace in the United States. And that's how like Wall Street as a trading entity began. It was actually like the biggest like slave trading place like in the United States.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
And that's how it eventually became like investment trading. And slaves had to build the very like trading block they would then be sold on. And that was, again, unpaid labor. So you can talk about the sense of unpaid labor in the South, but also in the North, they have slaves building this huge, like the White House, these huge buildings, and all the revenue and all the money that's been generated from today, there is no payback for that. So outside of just the agricultural labor, there also is a whole separate side, I feel like, of slavitude that, or that's not the right word. That's not a word.
What?
Slavitude? That's not a word.
It's one now.
My ancestors crying. They're like, she tried to do something nice, but ruined it. Literally ruined it.
Hashtag
like,
slavitude.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. There's a whole other aspect, because people feel like the North was so free and the North was this. But there's another aspect of it that people were doing this, doing labor in the North, unpaid. But it just wasn't like tilling and all types of stuff like that. But just as well, it was labor that should be paid for. Because the amount of profit and ways people have benefited from Wall Street, to ignore the fact, and like I said, there's no memorial, there's no nothing, to ignore the fact that this started as a huge place to sell and trade slaves, to just ignore that is crazy.
That is crazy. I did not know that. What? I'm mind blown. Y'all gonna be sick of me. Because I already have a few people in my head I need to call and tell this to.
Yeah, now you know.
That is crazy.
Isn't it crazy? And then it evolved. And there's not a memorial, not a plaque on the wall.
And nobody knows.
There's not a little sign. At least I could just put a little sign on a wall in the bathroom somewhere and say, hey, did you know? Did you know? Like a fun fact before every announcement.
I don't know if that like, fact is too fun.
Bro, like before WeWork, like IPOs, it's like, fun fact. Did you know this used to be the largest slave trading platform in America?
It's like, did you know you're selling and trading stocks, but we used to sell and trade niggers
on this right here, people, right here.
Oh,
but they can't
God.
Do that shit because you know someone's gonna point to their coworker and be like, Tyrone, were they selling you? You know what I mean? People don't know how to act, bro. People say some wild racist comments.
Why is name gonna be Tyrone?
Huh?
Why is his name?
That's his name, Taylor. What's wrong with Tyrone? What's wrong with his name being Tyrone? Damn.
Why can't it be Brad?
Is it Bradley. Too political today that a black man can't be named Tyrone?
God, my stomach hurts. That is crazy. Nah, but they would say that. Like, it is just like, bro, like, I'm like, do you not know your ancestry? And it's like, no, I don't.
It's like, no, I'm from Mississippi. Like, like I don't even, this is no parts of me. Like,
I'm dead. But yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm, I'm mind blown.
Yeah.
Great fun fact, Jay.
You're welcome. Yeah. But yeah, but again, I say all this to say that I think for me, like we could talk about the next argument, which is just as strong. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, when I think about reparations, I had never thought about it from that aspect. But there really is, it's not like, oh, let's do a nice gesture. There really is a bill of labor that really is owed. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how you like debate that. Mm-hmm. Like the United States like owes wages.
Well, I think that how people debate it, and I
because they bought the slaves.
Well, no. I mean, they bought slaves from white people. They got that money. We didn't get that money.
Right.
And so I think that, and I graduated from HBCU, but I did attend a PWI mm-hmm. before, twice. And we have had these types of conversations, and it's like, this is dreadful to take in, like, a black center class at PWI. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to jump off a cliff. But I think that what a lot of white people say is like, I didn't do that. Mm. So like, or like you weren't a slave. So like, why should you get money and you didn't do the labor? But we already talked about that. Cause it's like, so, but you're getting money from labor you didn't do.
Yeah.
You're getting the money from the labor. Your family got that money and they're passing it down from generation to generation. So if that's
exactly.
the case, once your great-great-great-grandpappy died, they should have buried that motherfucker with them. But yeah. that didn't happen. He passed it down to you and you and you and yep. you. And now your parents have money. They're homeowners. They have money to pay your tuition and things like that. Meanwhile, we out here looking crazy, living in apartments and things like that. I'm not talking about every black person. But we don't have the same, like, we don't own as much land. We don't own as many homes. Like, there's just a lot of things that we just got set so far back on that because we're descendants of slaves. Meanwhile, y'all got the leg up.
Yeah.
That's why I don't be feeling... Never mind.
What?
Okay.
So
that's why I'll be feeling bad for poor white people, because y'all had a 400 year head start. The fuck did you do with that money?
I think
400 years. You had to get it together. 400. And that's just slavery.
I'm gonna just let
people. That's not even Jim Crow and everything else.
No, I'm gonna just let that sit there and marinate. But I do think that, like, I think my brain has, like, started to, and I think it's like a lot of. I'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk. I have a lot of stuff. We'll talk about it later. Yeah. I'll talk about it.
Jay's being scary, y'all.
No, I'm not. I just don't know how to phrase it right now, so I just want to move on my podcast episode.
Okay.
Because I'm like, oh, like I said, I have other points to make.
Good.
But yeah, we'll talk about it. Okay, so secondly, again, we're talking about the unpaid labor thing, blah, blah, blah. That basically, that alone is trillions of dollars of unpaid labor the United States failed to pay for, right? And outside of just talking about the labor, as many black people know personally, the United States place was not a fair and just place for freed slaves. So they weren't, like, the shackles weren't taken off. They weren't saying, go start a life, you know, America, we're accepting everybody. That's not what happened. And it's interesting because, like, I've had conversations with my mom about reparations. And like I said, my mom knows her history really well, as well as, like I said, my mom... you know, had me later in life or whatever. And my mom actually started school segregated. So my mom, I think, is like 2 or 3 years older than Ruby Bridges, who is the woman who was the first black child to integrate schools. So my mom went to segregated schools. So my mom is I guess she could say she's a direct victim of, like, segregation and, like, the after effects of Jim Crow. And a lot of times when you talk about reparations, you could talk about the actual reparation of slavery, but, and people say, oh, well, I wasn't alive for that. But people who suffer from segregation and Jim Crow are still alive. Yes. And those effects are enough to give out reparations. And people who've experienced similar, well, I don't want to compare tragedies, people in other countries who experience such discrimination have been given out reparations. So that alone said, like, you're like, oh, I wasn't alive for slavery. But to back that up, reparations should also be offered to the victims of Jim Crow, segregation, other, like,
the Holocaust.
Yeah, acts done by the United States government.
Japanese internment camps.
Yeah, they've all gotten their reparations.
Yeah.
So why not African? Well, we'll talk about why not African Americans and, like, the argument against it. But yeah, but just to touch on that a bit, again, like, freed slaves and the descendants of freed slaves face, and to this day still face, many extreme injustices by the U.S. government and others. So a lot of times, like I said, when slaves were set free and their descendants, we were shut out of a lot of opportunities to establish generational wealth as, like, our white counterparts or other people who are just immigrants, you know, not just white people, but black people specifically. We were shut out from a lot of opportunities that would allow us to get a good standing in the United States. So things like getting an education. So again, so segregation, people act like it's so far behind us, but for a long time, it was no separate but equal. Black people were forced to go to schools that weren't funded. And if you did, you know, get high enough grades, whatever, apply to college, you still couldn't go to a certain amount of colleges. People talk about, oh, HBCUs are wrong. If we had an all-white college, it'd be wrong. But people don't recognize history in that. HBCUs are established and exist because black people couldn't go to those primary white institutions. People forget. History is so close to them, but they just don't know.
They don't forget. They're being, at that point, I'm like, you're being intentionally dense. Because first off, HBCUs are not all black colleges.
That's not
the first thing.
Yeah.
And to say if we had all white colleges, it's like, let me stop you right there, because you did have all white colleges, which is why we had to have black colleges.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I even stumbled upon it, but HBCUs are not it's not all black colleges. Like, you can apply as a white student and go to HBCU.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, white people getting scholarships to go to HBCUs.
Right.
So
I'm like, you can go to an HBCU if you want to, as opposed to y'all schools. We simply were not welcome.
Yeah.
You could not go. Period. Wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a big factor, because a lot of times, and in most societies, I think, like, people say, like, one of the final steps for countries to, I guess, be considered a developed country is that women have the ability to get educated, because that is such a factor in gaining wealth for families, for women, for them to be able to have access to education and start making money different ways. And you can see that with African Americans. When we were kind of exiled and pushed out of being able to access that higher education, we couldn't get those jobs that were building wealth, couldn't get into companies that were building wealth. We didn't have access to that. We were, like, shut out. Even if you had the grades, the capital, whatever, you still probably couldn't get into Harvard, because you literally could not be there as a black student.
You know, people have this theory that the reason that, and I don't know this to be true or not, but I've heard this theory that the reason that degrees are worth so little now, like bachelor's degrees,
because black women have more of them.
Yes.
Yeah. And the same thing,
because we have access now, so they're like, fuck that.
And I don't know if people are going to be able to push it, but I've seen the same argument that soon home ownership will be less valuable because black women are slowly owning more and more homes. Like, black women are moving, you know, are pushing towards home ownership, and African Americans in general. People are saying, I don't think it's going to happen because home ownership is limited. Like, land is limited versus, like, degrees aren't. So there is but so much land. But I've seen the same argument, people saying that eventually they're going to find a way to plummet home sales, plummet, you know, the value of a home because black people now have immediate access to it. Yeah. I've seen the same argument.
Strange.
Yeah, it's very true. I think that black women hold the most degree or something like that. And lately I do like, though, that companies have started to open the door to, you don't need a degree to apply. I do appreciate that, but it does lessen people who have, like, you wouldn't have gotten a master's in this and now other people can apply versus, like, you know, 5 years ago, you would have a master's to work at, like, a front desk.
Facts. I'm like, I ain't no hater, so.
Like, I'm not a hater either.
Like you said, I'm like, that's good for y'all. But at the same time, can y'all forgive my loans or something? Because I went here because I thought that I had to, and if I didn't have to, I wouldn't have done it.
I would have never gone either. Like, so, yeah, like, as someone who works in tech, like, I feel like I was, like, force-fed the idea of having a college degree. If I would have known I didn't need one, I would have just gone to a boot camp. Like, I would have just sat my ass in boot camp, paid $10,000. I'd have been working at, like, 18 years old. Yeah, I would have never done it either. Yeah, I would advise anyone today, if people are younger, I feel like we have a more, like, our age demographic listenership, but if you are younger, definitely research to see if you really do have to go to a four-year institution, because, listen, I have a cousin, he went to trade school, makes crazy money. I said, research, because you can make money a lot of different ways. I feel like I said, the idea of college being the only way to make six figures, make a lot of money, that's so antiquated. So, yeah, just do your research. Like,
facts.
But yeah, so outside of education being, you know, a way that black people were sealed off from gaining that generational wealth, the largest way was home ownership. So one of the major ways that most Americans track down their generational wealth is through owning land. Mm-hmm. And during these, like, New Deal programs, so Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he was a president or whatever. So basically he established a lot of programs. I think after the Great Depression, or we got out of the Great Depression because of it. But basically, he has established a lot of programs to help working class Americans to buy land and have opportunities to gain wealth after they had, like, lost it all, right? But these opportunities were not made available to African Americans. So, like I said, the same way a lot of, like, white counterparts or people, you know, who are not marked in the census as African American, they were allowed to take part in these deals, and that's how their family started the generational wealth. So we were exiled from the same opportunity. And like I said, I think that enough is enough for some. It might not be a lot of reparations, but I think that enough is enough to say that, hey, I'm, like, owed something that was really exiled out of this huge opportunity that allowed tons and tons and tons of families to get a leg up. And it basically was like a, hey, this is a fresh start, but not for black people.
Like I said, now we're at 600 years. 600 year head start.
Yeah, but it's wild, though, because, like, the neighborhood or the area, Eric, what I live in today, I don't know if you know this, and you can, like, I'm not going to say, but you know the town I live in. Mm-hmm. But all the homes that are by that high school, so those homes were made by Levitt, like, a famous, like, guy who built houses after the war. And these homes were priced really, really great, and they were giving out great loans for people who came home from, I think it was World War II, to buy these homes, right? But the crazy thing is, these homes were not, they was white-only neighborhoods. So black people couldn't buy these homes. Now these homes are worth up of $600,000, $700,000. But like I said, even black men who served in the war were not allowed to come home and get these houses. And to this day, those neighborhoods are still mostly white. And that's the only part, think about it, of the whole town area that's mostly white.
Yeah, because we don't live in a white area.
No, I'm saying, you can still see it today. You can say it's the past, but the policies that were set in place then still push ahead today, which is insane. So, like, to say, oh, it didn't exist, it didn't this, it didn't that, it did. And I said, those opportunities alone, like, can you imagine you serve in the war? And you come back and they're like, oh, no, but not for you, veteran. Not for these veterans. Yeah. Only these ones.
It's like, nigga, I got one leg. Like, what the fuck?
Right. And they say, suck, tough noogies. That's your mama got a place. You can go hang out there.
Tough tit.
Yeah. That's basically what they said.
This is wild.
Yeah. And like I said, I say all this and just put it into perspective how the after effects of slavery are not anything to push aside. All of this kind of snowballs.
It's like a domino effect.
And to kind of really like it all. So, and I think these statistics might be a little bit skewed. So like I said, I try to be as unbiased as possible. But the website I got from, I was like, that's interesting. But basically, I'm going to put it out there, take it with a grain of salt. But in 2019, according to where I got this from, the median white income was $188,000, right? Mm-hmm. The typical black household income was $24,000. That's almost eight times as much in 2019. So we say, oh, it doesn't exist. Oh, this or that. No, it definitely exists. And we talk about wealth. So, and I was like, is this true? I didn't know white people were this wealthy. I don't know if this is true, right?
Well, if we're talking about a median now, we're averaging out.
Oh, an average. Yeah, right, you're right.
We're doing an average, right? So I feel like if you're averaging in the
extreme
top,
wealth, the outliers, wealthy like an
people,
outlier.
Yeah. Right, the outliers like the Jeff Bezos and the Elon Musk or whatever. Does Elon Musk
count as white?
Is he white? I assumed he was.
Is he white?
I don't know. He was a fucking robot.
Let me Google that.
Okay. Well, while you do that, I feel like they have a lot
now,
of...
No, Elon... Okay, I think Elon Musk is white. Isn't he like from... Hold on. Let me not say that and sound ignorant as fuck.
I wouldn't know. Spicy white.
No, it's like that like Mean Girls thing when like Katie's white and they're like, you can't ask... She's from Africa. You can't ask her white. Elon Musk was raised in South Africa.
There's a lot of white people.
But he's white. No, I think the Dutch, like, it's a thing. Like, basically, it was colonized. So he is white. But that's why I was, like, confused. Yeah, Elon, okay.
So. There's a ton of white people in South Africa. I had a white professor who was from South Africa, and he was very wealthy.
Yeah.
And I think he was just doing, I got the vibe just through a few certain things that he did and said, that he was just being a professor because he just wanted to. But he had a lot of money. So yeah, there's a lot of white people in South Africa, but I feel like they have a lot of outliers. Like there's a lot of extremely, extremely, mm-hmm. extremely wealthy white people for the reasons that we just spoke about. Nothing more, nothing less, you know? And we have like a few outliers, but our outliers are people like who got not lucky, but like Oprah or, mm-hmm. LeBron James.
But you can
or
the like, crazy is, but you know can actually saying? Point him out, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it's like I feel like there are a few mystery like billionaire black people, black but people. A lot of it's like entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Because
they're not even billionaires.
And it is wild though, because when I said, I'm a tech person. And I first got in tech, I used to really admire a lot of tech entrepreneurs, so like the Elon Musk, like the Mark Zuckerberg, like how'd I say, like really read their stories and like admire them. Even like Steve Jobs, like all of them. But the thing people don't realize is like when you really start reading, they're like, oh, well, my parents gave me $500,000 to start. Because mm-hmm. they dropped out of Harvard, they're a college dropout, and in 4 years they made it. Well, startup capital was all the difference. So again, I don't defame their stories. A lot of it's very impressive, and a lot of them are the first to do the thing they did, and they did it the best. Mm-hmm. But the difference a lot of times is, you know, startup capital. A lot of minorities have great ideas, but there is no startup capital to get it off the ground. And they weren't at Harvard to begin with. And I feel like, you know, you make connections, all types of things. You're not in those networks to make those connections. But yeah, but it's a whole thing. And to run it back, I missed the whole point. But basically, the one statistic that like blew my mind was apparently, I'm like, I don't even know this right. So I think we got a lot of white listeners. Like they can let me
white
know.
White people do be listening to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. But they can let me know because I don't know if this is true. And if it is true, that's crazy. But apparently, the average white like wealth, they have like a wealth of $983,000. And the average black household wealth is $142,000. So that's almost seven times more. People are sitting on $1 million. I don't think that's true. People just sitting on $1 million. Maybe like grandma. I don't know. That's crazy.
No, I feel like it is. Like I said, we're talking about an average, right? Because I'm sure. Because white people will be like, I'm poor. And I'm like, my family lives in a trailer park. And I'm like, well, talk to your great grandpappy about that. Because there was all them fucking programs and all them damn slaves. And he didn't get not one lick of fucking money. I don't know what to tell you. But there are white people. Like I've never, for example, I've never met a black person who was looking forward to like an inheritance.
Yeah, so I've talked about it. So yeah, I talked about this podcast. So
I've met a lot of white people.
It's normally, and this is a big thing about being black, It's normally the opposite. So when people pass away, they normally owe a debt, and then the family will scrounge to pay the funeral fee and pay whatever debts Uncle blah 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 left behind them. Yeah. And that's literally, like, that's been my experience.
Yes.
Is, or the money they have left is enough to just cover their debts.
Their funeral.
And then you have to pay the funeral still. Yeah. Like, I've never inherited a thing, and I don't think I ever will inherit a thing.
Nothing.
But I have known white people to have inherited things. And that to me is like, so you see it on TV all the time, and they're like, well, grandma left. I thought it was like Pulp Fiction or just, you know, fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
You know what I'm trying to say. But I thought it was Hooey, like movie. I thought it was like Hooey. I thought it was like just like movie stuff you see on movies. No. But it literally, like, people really be inheriting things. And that's crazy.
Yeah. I've never inherited a damn thing. Mind you, the only person who was even close to me that maybe I would inherit something from was my grandmother. But that's what I'm saying. White people's grandparents be dying and leaving them like $500,000 or even $100,000 or whatever. Just like or even $50,000. You know what I'm saying? Just 10, whatever the fuck. We can go down the line. But it's like our grandparents die and it's just kind of like you said, it's like dot, dot, dot. They didn't even have shit. Yeah. Like, my grandmother lived with me for a very long time. So, it's just kind of like...
Yeah, it's...
That's not a thing in black households. So, I believe that. Like I said, we're talking about averages. So, don't come in the DMs talking about, I don't have... We're not talking... Then you don't. You on the lower end of the average. But our averages are way lower than your averages. And that's the point.
Yeah. I think it's like compared to everyone too. Because like I've known a lot of like, when I was in college, I knew a lot of different ethnicities of people. Mm-hmm. But I never, so I met a lot of like, I've met Indian people, Asian people, white people who had their parents were basically paying their way. And they were in like nice luxury apartments. Mm-hmm. Even like African immigrants, people who are like... Mm-hmm. Like Nigerian, or they literally were not like the descendants of slavery. I've met all different colors of like rich people who have like been like, oh, my parents pay for my tuition, they pay for these clothes, they give me an allowance, and they're paying for this apartment. But I've never met a person who's a descendant of slavery, like a black person, have that. Mm-hmm. And I've met a lot of people of different colors do that, but I've never met a black person who's like, oh yeah, my parents pay my way. I've never met it.
Maybe Nigerian, but not like that's an
immigrant from Africa, but they're not a descendant of slavery.
No, I never have either when I think about it. Never, ever, ever.
Never.
In life.
And I've met all types of people from all different types of walks of life who've had that opportunity, but I've never met someone who was a descendant of slavery who's like, oh yeah, my parents just pay my way. And there are rich black people, but like I said, when you do the average, I feel like that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is there's not,
it's not
enough outliers to bump that number.
Yeah, it's not common. I feel like the extremely rich black people are someplace we're not.
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of like, but like you said, I don't run into black people like this, but I run into everybody else who has this.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing about it.
I'm
not in no crazy inner circles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could be like, well, you just don't know the right black people. But you probably are in a really tight circle because I have just been lowly Jade and I've met these type of other ethnicities, but I've never stumbled upon a black person like that. And like I said, I don't be in no high class circles and I've met plenty of other people who've had their way paid for them. So,
yeah, that's a fact. I have met black people that were quite rich. But that's only because when I was very young, and my mom sent me to private school, and there were a lot of very affluent black people there, and we were not one of them. But I remember thinking like all of their houses were a lot nicer than mine, and all of their cars were a lot nicer than my parents' cars. And this isn't a stop store because I was still at the fucking school, so whatever. But I'm just saying, once I got out of that arena and then went to like high school and college, it kind of just kind of tapered off.
Yeah. It's interesting also because like rich is not like wealth, and I feel like people talk about because there are
no money.
Like, yeah, there's a bunch of it. I hope to see like it become generational wealth, but I think there are a lot more rich and well-to-do black people than there were like 40, 50 years ago. So hopefully that does become generational wealth. Like I said, ain't nothing against spoiling. Like I feel like no shade if that's your game, no shade to it. But I hope to see one day like, you know, there are more black kids like that who they don't have to pick a crazy intensive career to make a living because I say, you know what, mom and dad will give me a half of it and I'll just make my whatever. I'll be an artist, I'll serve lattes, I'll do what I really want to do. I don't have to go be a doctor or some crazy ass like executive or on Wall Street because I have the luxury to do what I want to do. My parents will help the rest. I hope to see more black people like it, to be honest.
Yeah, I would do that with my kids.
Me too. Yeah. I would like to do that. I would like to give my kids the opportunity. Like, you want to be an actress? Go for it. I could have never had that opportunity to just go for it. I would have ended up flat on my ass. Like I said, I didn't have the luxury to make, you know, $15,000 a year and hang out at my mom's house. I didn't have that luxury.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like people, like me and my sister are both in creative fields. We both make a living. Yeah. We both pulled that shit out. Off. Shout out to us. But I remember when my sister wanted to do film, she was so nervous to tell my mother that she wanted to do film because that's how Black people are. My mom never really was like that, but like that's our culture, right? So she was like so nervous to say, I want to do a creative field, because she was like, she thought she was going to be like, girl, you better choose something. You know what I'm saying? She thought that was going to be the reaction, because that's most Black parents' reaction. And it's not out of trying to kill dreams or anything like that. I think that they're just genuinely concerned for you because they know they don't have everything to give you if you fail.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, if you try to do film, or if you try to do art, or if you try to be an actor or an actress and you fail, I don't have $50,000 to give you to pull you out of home.
There's nothing to do.
Yeah. I don't have anything to give you, as opposed to other people who may have more funds. They're like, okay, well, I can float you.
Yeah.
A lot of Black parents are like, I can't float you, so you better put your foot in this shit. Yeah. Because, and that's just basically my mom. She was like, if you want to do it, do it. But do it. Like, don't half step. Don't half ass. So I just feel like people just, they underestimate how different people's lives are based on the effect of slavery. Like I said, I know people could say like, well, my life is like that. My parents are like that. And it's like, we're talking about the average.
Yeah.
We're talking about the overall median. I'm not saying that there aren't poor people who are the descendant of other immigrants. I'm not saying there's not poor white people. I'm just saying it's more of us than it is of you.
Yeah.
And there's a very clear reason for that. Mm. It's very clear.
I think, I think the big thing is like there were like opportunities denied. So like I said, there's a case for reparations with just the fact of unpaid labor. There's a case against reparations against, like, you could say like the whole Jim Crow era and the discrimination that African Americans who are the descendants of slaves have experienced, that have like kept them out of having equal opportunities to other people in the United States. So like specifically discrimination. You could even talk about things happening today and just things like police brutality, housing discriminations. The list goes on and on and on, and they still happen today. And all of these are side effects of slavery.
Facts.
And to kind of, so I think it was like 2019, Ta-Nehisi, I can't text it, Coates. So basically, he wrote an article that was called The Case for Reparations. And I think that like this quote kind of like sums it up to me. And it was like a great, I feel like it was a really good way to put all those pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the quote goes, 250 years of slavery, 90 years of Jim Crow, 60 years of separate but equal, 35 years of racist housing policies. Until we reckon with our compounding moral debts, America will never be whole. And I think that puts, that's a really quick quote to kind of summarize all the damage that's been done to people, like I said, slaves, the senses of slavery, and the effects of it. I think it kind of, you know, wraps it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not just slavery. It's a lot else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
It's slavery and then the after effects of slavery, which have gone on for like I said.
That's like 90 50, years of Jim Crow.
50 gajillion fucking years. Like, huh?
Yeah.
And y'all expect people to just be like, okie dokie, let's just forget about that. And now everybody's equal. And it's like, that's not real life.
Exactly. So, I guess we can finally get to the mule.
I want mine. And I want my acres.
Yeah. So the crazy thing is, like, when slavery initially ended, or was, like, you know, not a ball, but it was done. So at the end of the Civil War, basically, slavery was done, like, the North won, whatever, whatever. And basically, talk of reparations immediately began for the 4 million freed slaves. So it was not even a question, like, how are we going to, like, help these people and get these freed slaves on the right foot? And this is where the term 40 acres and a mule comes from. So on January 16th of 1865, Union General William Tecumseh Sherman, you know, bad names. So he proclaimed the Special Field Order number 15, which is where the mule comes from. Basically, he met with 20 Black leaders, which was really progressive at the time. And he told them, hey, like, tell me what you guys want to feel like you have a good head start in being like Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the general consensus was that they wanted land so that they could grow their own wealth in their own communities. Mm-hmm. They wanted the communities to be black owned and ran with little outside interference. And the law did just that. So the law allotted land to freed families of freed slaves. Their plot of land could be no larger than 40 acres. The military would loan out mules. So if you decided to grow crops on your land, the military would loan you out mules to help with the labor. Mm-hmm. This land was actually supposed to be taken from slave owners and redistributed to slaves. And the land basically went from the coast of South Carolina up to Georgia. And that's what the plan was. Abraham Lincoln actually quickly signed this deal, and the land was supposed to start being distributed very quickly. Mm-hmm. But shortly after Abraham Lincoln, he was assassinated, and his successor, Andrew Jackson, was actually a sympathizer of the South, and he overturned the deal and returned the land to the slave owners.
I remember that.
And fun fact,
I remember it, but in history class.
Yeah, don't quote me on this, but that land is actually worth billions today. So mm-hmm. if freed slaves would have actually gained that land, it would have been worth billions of wealth. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like, and if we were to factor in those numbers into those wealth gaps we talked about, I feel like they'd be a bit tighter.
Of course.
If you know, 4 million, and they all had access to it. So it wasn't like, oh, you had to be a slave in the South. If you were a slave that got freed, all 4 million, they had access to claim that land. So everybody would have got a piece of it. If you came forward and claimed it, like I said, you know, like how we talk about some white people missed the bag over 600 years. If your family member didn't show up, you probably too would have missed the bag. Mm-hmm. But instead, you know, nobody got it because it was reneged. Mm-hmm. But basically, that was going to be the opportunity. And I feel like if that was done then, I feel like people make TV shows all the time about, like, what if there wasn't slavery? Or what if black people had never been slaves? I feel like a great show would be a show about what if black people actually had received their 40 acres and a mule. Because I think America would be so much more different. Because I said, like, those leaders wanted to start their own area and have it ran by black people. But I think that once black people were established enough and, you know, got our footing as freed, you know, Americans, I feel like it would have been a great platform to us all to actually live as equals. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be this weird thing. It'd be like, yeah, I'm just into slavery. And it wouldn't be something that, like, you know, because I said it would have taken some time. I'm not saying it would happen immediately, but those 90 years of Jim Crow could have been something different. Mm-hmm. It could have been, like I said, black people getting their footing. And then when it was, you know, when all the damage is done and healed from, then I feel like it would have been a much, like, I don't want to say chiller America, but I feel like racism wouldn't be what it is today. And, like, those systemic, like, racism acts, it wouldn't have happened if that land would have been given out.
Yeah. And then people, the descendants of slaves, will have access to more capital and more money.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because, like I said, they wanted to build. It wasn't just going to, like, people talk about, like, a lot of times the land and talk about houses. But that land could have been, you know, colleges. It could have been banks. It could have been whatever. And the literally, like, in the act, there was to be little government or military interference.
Oh.
And we don't know how that would have gone for us.
I'm about to say, because my immediate thought was they would have bombed it, but continue.
But the idea was this was supposed to be a zone, much like how Native Americans and the reservations didn't work out either. But I feel like that was probably where they were headed with this shit. But I feel like that's the vibe it was, like, giving, is mm-hmm. they were going to give these people the opportunity to build their own communities on their land.
You know, and to use your words, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that Native Americans go to college for free. And this is from a direct, I mean, maybe it's not every college, but I knew this girl and I was like, bitch, you crazy as hell. Mm-hmm. But I knew this girl and she was saying basically, like, how they get, like, a stipend but you have to live on the reservation. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be, like you said, like a direct descendant.
Okay, they have cards. Like, if you're, mm-hmm. you have, like, people have cards if they're direct descendants. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, so why they, you know, they deserve. But we also deserve. But she basically was talking about how, like, she was going to college for free. But the thing is, the catch is, if you drop out, and if you're Native American and you know what I'm talking about, I don't know the ins and outs of this. You know, me and this girl was just acquaintances. She said, if you drop out, you have to pay the money back. So if you go to college for free and you don't finish, you have to pay the money back. But if you finish, then you're golden. And she was basically saying, I was like, you crazy? Because she was like, I'm about to drop out and just pay the money. I was like, bitch, are you crazy?
Well, no, that sounds about America to say they need the money back. But the thing is, like, the whole thing about, and again, don't quote me because I'm also not Native American, but reservations were not set up to profit these people. Like, reservations have, like, some of the highest, like, high school dropout rates, like, alcoholism, drug abuse rates. Yeah, like, it's like I said, I feel like we all say the 40 acres of mule would have been great, but I feel like it was giving, like, the same thing. Like, I feel like they would have provided no resources, and that these places would have ended up like wastelands. And I feel like that's still something the United States really needs to reckon with, because, like, it's not what it's supposed to be. For you know, for us to have, what do they call it? Not conquer. It's like a better word for it.
But basically, overcome?
No, I don't know. But basically, for people to have conquered this land, like, they came over, did their whole manifest. What's it called? Manifest Destiny?
Stole it.
They basically stole it. So for us to come over here, conquer it, steal it, whatever, and then say, you know what? We're really, really sorry about it. I'm sorry. Give them back tiny little pieces and be like, you know what? But we're not going to touch it again. You want it? You know, we're not going to help. Peace out. That's not the way to operate. Like, those, that also is a, could be a whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just, yeah, I agree. I don't think that, like, it's like, oh, they gave them reservations. They did their due diligence. Nah, they still owe them people a lot.
They owe them people
but
a lot.
But what I'm saying is they gave them something. You know what I'm saying? They owe them more. But when it comes to Black people, we got zip, zero, zilch. Mm. $0. Zero towns.
Yeah.
Zero money. And don't come in the comments talking about affirmative action, because white women benefit the most. So shut up if you're going to come over here with that shit. So no, we didn't really get nothing. And like, it's just ridiculous. So yeah, like you said at the beginning of the episode, I feel like a lot of marginalized groups have got little handouts here and there. And specifically for them, you know, because racist people's favorite talking points is... welfare, affirmative Absolutely action, not. Things like that. And I'm like, first off, that's not... First off, I ain't never been on a fucking welfare. So what the fuck that got to do with me? And second off, that's not specifically for Black people. Welfare is not for Black people. That's not for something that's a descendant of slaves. You're racist. So you attribute Section 8 welfare to Black people. But that's not a program for us.
Yeah.
You're just a racist. So anytime somebody throws that out, I'm like... That's not for Black people.
Yeah.
And that's not a thing. It's a ton of, everybody can be on hard times and get government assistance. You pay taxes, don't you?
Right.
So you get your government assistance. But there's never been a program or anything like that, or reparations, anything that was specifically to say, sorry that we raped and pillaged and killed y'all for all these fucking years and then beat your ass and made you walk in through the back door. Here is something for your troubles. It's never happened.
Yeah. Never. And you hit the nail on the head, right? So the question is, like, so if the United States did say, you know what, it's time to get reparations, like, what would reparations, like, actually look like? So, like Taylor said, basically the 40 acres and the mule was the last time the United States actually passed serious, like, legislation, whatever, to basically give out reparations or some type of compensation to the victims of slavery. And that was the last time it happened, like, as a whole. And I think that, like, reparations comes up from time to time, but recently with, like, the pandemic, I feel like people were in the house a lot, as well as in 2020, there was a lot of police brutality. The conversation, and there was an election, the conversation around reparations started to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of a complicated question, because reparations actually can mean a lot of things. So reparations, for in some cases, is literally just an apology. Reparations
can be... I don't want that.
Okay. It can be. But reparations, like, in some cases, like, when countries get reparations, it is just an apology and an admittance of wrongdoing. Yeah. Like I said, I feel like in the case of slavery, it's literally wages. So an apology is, like, fine and dandy, but it doesn't really equate to the situation.
Good. Go continue.
Okay, so it can mean an apology. It can mean giving back land. Other times, like I said, it's kind of just admitting to the truth and validating victims' experiences. But to kind of put it into perspective, I have a few examples. Maybe this will be two episodes. It's been a while. But anyways, I have a few.
No, we're coming up on an hour.
Okay, so okay, perfect. Okay, so basically I have a few examples of the United States paying reparations as well as other countries. I think other people don't call reparations, right? Like, I watched a video where this lady, like, this random town is, like, giving Black people, like, housing grants as, like, a way of reparations. And she was, like, someone told her they don't want it called reparations. So, I'm like, do Black people just say it a lot? Or, like, I don't know, is reparations a specific term towards, like, repayment from slavery? But I don't think it is. Like, if you Google reparations, like, the slavery thing does pop up. But that's not, like, the general, like, that's not the definition of the word. But I'm like, I don't know. I guess other people don't call reparations.
I don't know. I mean, okay. I would take a housing grant.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I might have the video I can give to you. But to say stuff, so to kick it off again. So basically, to kick it off, the United States, obviously, one of the first victims, colonizers, approached when they got here and stole land was Native Americans. They were, I feel like, the first real victims of Americans. And again, they were never really given back their land, but the United States did apologize. And they established a commission that could, like, repay victims if they came with their claims. Like, if your family or whoever basically could prove that you were the victim of, I guess, the colonization, you could go to this commission and ask for claims or to be repaid, right? Mm-hmm. So over time, this commission has actually paid out $1.3 billion, which is about $1,000 per person. And again, I feel like I've...
To Native Americans?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, just $1,000.
What about doing with $1,000?
Yeah. And I think, like, that's, like, that's, like, I think the United States has a history, especially towards people with darker skin. But, like I said, that's nothing. And then, like,
all this trouble. But yeah. My mortgage is less. That's, like, I can't even pay my mortgage.
And I feel like that gives me, like, so.
For 1 month.
I feel like, again, I'm not Native American. But I feel like whenever I, like, was doing research and looking about the way America has decided to repay Native Americans for what they've done, it's, like, zilch. It's, like, basically, like, tough nuggies. And I feel like that, like, really discourages me that reparations will ever happen, because their response to basically stealing all of America is, like, sucks to suck, buddy. Like, and I feel like that's kind of the same response that's been to slavery. And I feel like it probably is going to stay that way, because I feel like just as we are, like, trying to fight for reparations, I feel like Native Americans are fighting the same fight to get what they're owed. And I feel like America's like, nah, we're done talking about it. Like, we're done. And that's basically, like, the vibe.
It's a vibe.
It is a vibe. Some other victims that were paid. So, victims of Japanese internment camps. So, basically, Japanese individuals who were placed into internment camps between 1942 and 1946. So, they were actually issued a letter of apology by the United States government. There was a formal apology ceremony. And everybody got $20,000. And this was in 1988. Which would almost double today. So, today, that would be about $44,000. And that money was awarded to 80,000 individuals.
Eh, I'd take it, but I'd need more.
Yeah, I need more.
They deserve more.
I need more. They deserve more, too. Yeah, they deserve more. They deserve more. Yep. Like I said, when you look at the United States...
Discount.
Just wait. So we're done talking about United States. But the United States has a shit history of giving out reparations.
It's giving Mr. Krabs.
Yeah, it's horrible. No, it's horrible. They're so stingy. It's horrible. And I think they never will, right? I talk about Native America. I feel like somebody is still fighting for their great-great-granddaddy or their great-grandfather who was in Japanese internment camps. And they're like, nah, man, we done talking about that. We don't talk about it.
They're stingy, bruh.
They put up a couple fireworks up and said, that's that.
Not a couple fireworks.
That's after that.
Enjoy.
Yeah. So talked about the big one I feel like everyone's talking about. We can talk about the Holocaust. So basically, Germany, in my opinion, has done, like, gone through great lengths to kind of pay reparations to the survivors of the Holocaust. So apparently about $89 billion has been paid out to survivors of the Holocaust. Again, I don't think you can really put a monetary value on that. So again, like, I feel like it becomes kind of abstract, because I still don't feel like that's enough money, because I just don't. But besides that, I think that one thing, like I said, part of reparations is also truth telling. So one thing about Germany is that Germany does not try to hide from their past. It did before, but in most recent years, there's been a push to kind of, like, openly talk about the Holocaust. So it's taught in schools, families, so I've seen online, they talk about their involvement of it. So probably not all German families, but it's not, like, super taboo to kind of acknowledge, like, oh, my family had wrongdoing in the Holocaust, versus here in the United States, it's no one will ever admit that their family played a part in slavery. And I feel like one reason
ever.
Yeah, I feel like one reason why it is so taboo, right, is because there are no reparation and there has been no apology, really, versus I feel like in Germany they've started the healing process. So they've started, well, I don't want to say healing, because I was involved in that, so I can't say that for them, but they've started, I guess, to acknowledge the damage that has been done, better yet. So again, so like I said, it's on school, families talk about it. There's memorials all over the place. It's not something to be pushed in the background. They've literally started to acknowledge it. Like, it's part of their history. Everyone knows it. Like I said, I watched an interview where they had, like, German, I guess I want to say, like, millennials or younger people talking about how they feel about it. And they basically say the same thing I hear today in America, where they say, like, oh, when they first learned about it, they felt a lot of shame about their German heritage. But it was something they felt and they dealt with. And they said, like, from learning that in school, they said, hey, you know what? I learned this, and now I'm going to make it my personal responsibility to make sure it never happens again. And that's basically how they move forward. And I think that's, like, a big thing we can learn in America is I feel like there's this whole push where we don't want to teach about slavery. We don't want to teach race theory but because it makes people feel uncomfortable. But I think the thing is that once you feel uncomfortable, you can make it your personal mission to be like, hey, you know what? Like, that made me feel so shitty to hear about the stuff that Black people, other people of color, Native Americans have gone through. And I'm going to make it my personal mission to make sure these injustices don't keep going. And I think that that's, like, the big part we're missing. I feel like, again, like, monetary, like, reparations are great. But I think acknowledgement's also a big part of it to combat the culture. Because even, like I said, even if Black people, we do get $40,000, whatever, each, right? Or our 40 acres and a mule, right? I feel like in America, there's still such a systematic aspect of it. And a part that's ignored that... It'll be like nothing. Like, they'll make the land worth pennies. The mule will be worth pennies. Like, it'll be worthless, right? I feel like there's a part of it that still needs to happen. Like, conversations are still need to be had. And, like, in Germany, like, they're starting to have those conversations.
Yeah. I do need my money. But also, I do see what you're saying. Because it's kind of like... and I think it's even... If it's not illegal... It's very, very, I think, frowned upon to fly, like, the Nazi flag in Germany. I think it's illegal.
Yeah. So, basically,
But people here fly the Confederate flag all day, every day.
Yeah, and I think it's, like, in the United States, or in general, right, isn't it, like, defeated flags or flags of, like, defeated countries or whatever are supposed to be retired? And the Confederate flag was never retired, but it actually should have been retired. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually shouldn't be, like, waved. And even in the video I watched about, like, millennials, they were saying, like, or German, like, you know, young people in Germany, basically, like, they only wave, like, the German flag when it's, like, sports, right? So, like, maybe, like, the German team is playing in soccer or playing in whatever, and they're, like, you know, cheering on the team they waved, but they don't, like, put it up in their, like, front yard, or they're not going to tattoo it on their back or something like that.
Yeah. And also, there's a difference between the German flag and a Nazi flag. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if you were to put up a Nazi flag in Germany, it would be a big, big problem.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, other systemic things that have happened in America, white people feel as if I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. You know what I'm saying? If I want to put this up, I can put it up, and it's not going to be a problem. And they'll love to turn around and say... Oh well, I'm from the South. This is why I'm putting this flag up, and it's like that. They were fighting for their rights, and it's like the right to do what?
Yeah, I think
the right to do what? Own slaves. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so I do think that other countries have done a way better job at kind of that whole, like, oh, we're not teaching race theory. I'm like, I hate that. I literally hate the term race theory. Like,
it started to make me want
to jump off a cliff. I hate that. The word you're looking for is history.
Yeah, I hate that, right? I hate, like,
what is race theory?
I think I missed the book because I'm older. I'm like, when did that happen? Like, when did that become race theory?
History!
Because, like, theory on that, it makes, like, it's an idea, concept, so it's not factual.
It's a fact.
And that's, like, wild. And like I said, I think that's, like, the big problem. Like I said, like, we talk about, like, we all want money, and yeah, I want my dollars, too. But I feel like the thing is, like, there's no admittance or acceptance. I think, like I said, people who fly that Confederate flag, whatever, whatever, but the government supports them in that. Like, we don't have a government or anybody in power who's apologizing and saying, oh, this isn't right as the United States. We need to teach this history. And you know what? Like, it's, at the end of the day, like, it is American history, right? And I really don't need white people to cry in a corner for me because their grandma owned slaves. Or their grandpa, better yet. I don't need that. I feel like the better
thing... Their grandmamas was shitty, too.
I feel like the betterment of it is to really, like, stand up and say, you know what? I learned my history and I'm gonna make sure it never happens again. Because crying in a corner, like, benefits nobody. But I feel like American culture, we're so good at coddling people, they were like, it would make somebody uncomfortable, so we're never ever gonna teach it. I think the uncomfortable for a few minutes is better than the way we have it now. And I don't know how, I'm not an educator, I don't know how we, like, change that demographic, but I think having those open, honest conversations, I feel like it's, like, maybe the damage is already done, right? But I feel like a start is to have those conversations. Because I think we have such a, there's still a shield around it.
Yeah, because I think white people love crying in corners. That's the problem.
What do you mean?
If you try to talk about something that makes them uncomfortable,
they'd rather
cry in a fucking corner, and it's like, shut up.
But
like,
I think,
why are you trying to make me feel bad? And I'm like, shut up. Like, nobody's trying to make you feel bad. It's just a fact. Like, this is factual.
Yeah. I think that's
this is factual.
Right. And I feel like I wish we could get to a place where we normalize it, where it's not like, nobody wants you to cry in a corner, right?
I don't.
I don't. I don't. Like, I feel like, not about my race, but the only argument people were like, I didn't own slaves. Yeah, so I don't want you to cry in a corner. I don't give a fuck. I don't need you to cry in a corner. I don't need it. That doesn't make me feel any better. It doesn't make me no richer. It doesn't do anything for me. It just
gets on my fucking nerves.
Right. So I feel like I wish we as a country could get to a place where it doesn't have to be all that. It doesn't have to be all that. It doesn't have to be like, well, I feel really bad. You don't have to feel really bad. I feel like I think that white people or people, I think all, obviously all white people are not enslaved. I think people who are white people or feel like they were enslaved, they feel like when we talk about slavery or whatever in a room, people are staring at them. And I think they feel that black people are like turning an eye to them.
Well, everybody's always staring at me, so.
But they're not. But I feel like they're not. I feel like you literally, like, nobody expects you to cry. I feel like they just, you know, I feel like, I don't know what is the feeling they feel, but it's okay. Like, I don't need it.
I feel like I know the feeling they feel, but I feel like it's not as bad, because the thing is, when we talk about slavery and we talk about being the descendant of slaves.
Oh, everybody turns their neck.
Everybody's looking at me, right? But I just kind of suck it up and move on. And, you know, it's always been that way. But as soon as y'all get even a sniff of not being the standard, you want to go boohoo.
Yeah.
Shut up.
But, like I said,
shut up.
I think the main point is that I think that we can learn a lot from, you know, Germany paying reparations to victims of the Holocaust. I think that, like, for us, obviously, I feel like because it was a labor thing and because of the profit that people have made off of slavery, I think that monetary compensation is on the table, as well as I think that, like, the same thing of, like, having memorials, like, having constant reminders, having it become an open topic, I think it could really benefit America. Like, I think that it would make a better America for me, my children, if slavery wasn't this, like, racism wasn't this,
like, if it wasn't what?
Yeah, this. I wish it wasn't. I think it would make a better America for everybody, like, dead ass. Like, I feel like it would make it a lot better for everybody. Because I feel like right now, white people feel a lot of pressure to be politically correct. I feel like we could all just put it on the table.
It's that white guilt.
And we all could just accept what had happened and put all our chips on the table. It'd be a lot better for everybody in this country. Like, dead ass. Like, but yeah.
That's real. I tend to agree. So, yeah, like I said, you don't have to, like you said. You know what? You said something good.
What?
You gave what it needed to give, Jade, because the thing is, I never thought about it in the terms of, like, oh, okay, because me, I'm like, can I get a check? But here's the thing, you can give me a check and then, like you said, create all these programs to, like, cut my shit in half or whatever the fuck, but at the same time, you really need to, like, do better work as far as acknowledging what had happened, because we really don't. And I feel like whenever somebody acknowledges it openly, is just kind of like, I mean, black people acknowledge it amongst each other, you know, but that's our culture. But as far as, like, acknowledging it with people who were the perpetrators of this, they just kind of, like, it's just kind of awkward because nobody ever does it. So it's just kind of like, oh wait, like, this is weird. And it's like, but it shouldn't be weird because it's history. And that, but I did think about that race theory thing. I've always hated that word. Hated that phrase, because I'm like, it's not race theory, it's just American history.
Yeah,
that's it.
Like, and I feel like there's, like, that's what it really should break down to.
It's American history.
I think it's enough. I feel like black people, like, we talk about so much, we're desensitized to it, but I feel like it's time to get everybody else on board with it, right? Mm. There's, like, an episode of The Office where, like, Andy does a DNA test. He's a white man, and he finds out he's related to Michelle Obama, and everybody in the office is like, and they all gasp, and he's like, what, right? But no one in the office will tell him that his family probably owned slaves. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up calling his dad or somebody, and they tell him, yeah, we own slaves. And basically his connection to Michelle Obama is that his family owned her family as slaves. Mm-hmm. And that's his connection, right?
Yeah.
And I think that shouldn't be such a conversation to have. I think that should just be on the table, right? And I think that, just a dag it in there, I think reparations can help with making those conversations easier, because that guilt associated wouldn't be there. It won't be there anymore.
Yeah. I literally, and I'm be done after this. Okay.
It's not even
a long episode. Okay. It's not a long episode. We're a little over an hour. But I saw this TikTok where this black girl was like, she was like, I have a question. Do white people have conversations with their older family members? Have you seen this? She was like, do y'all have conversations with your family members about slavery? She was like, do y'all ask y'all grandparents, did they ever spit on a black person at a lunch counter? Do y'all ask them, did y'all ancestors own slaves?
They don't.
Do you ask them that? Because black people, are very much so aware of our history. Parents are like, yes, like you even said, we're from this plantation, blah, blah, blah. We are very aware.
Yeah, every aspect of it.
Yes, we are very aware.
I know when family, like, I know when parts of my family got ripped apart. I know all types of, on my mom's side, but I know all types of that. Yeah. I know, like, the pain my mom carries, my grandparents carry, it carries and carries and carries. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, there's every drop of it. I know. Like,
and it was disturbing because there was tons of white people in the comments, well-meaning white people, right? But their parents weren't, and they were like, actually, I feel like the ones who never asked just was like, doo, doo, doo. But the ones who maybe had, basically the general consensus was like, yes, I did. And like, basically my parents told me like, oh, it was a different time. She even said like, did you participate in the lynching? Did you spit on a black person? Did you throw a milkshake at a black person when they was trying to come into school? Like, did you ever do that? Did our family ever do that? And they just kind of are like, you know what? It was a different time. And I don't really want to talk about it. And it's like,
yeah,
my nigga, what?
But like I said, again, it should be a conversation we had. I feel like there's so much like whatever around it that I feel like there should be able to say like, oh, grandma was. Like, grandma was throwing milkshakes at black people. And like, grandma was in the crowd spitting on people. And I think it's something to be said. Just say it. I feel like it's like, that's a big part of this. It became this hush-hush thing. And it only keeps benefiting the same people it's benefited for years. It only hurts black people to keep saying this. I feel like it's like, you get gaslighted. Like, I feel like we all are systematically, not oppressed, but gaslighted. Mm-hmm. I love you gaslighted. That'd be crazy. I even saw that post where he was like, slavery wasn't that bad. I'm like, bitch, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm like, y'all ate us.
Has anybody ever said the Holocaust wasn't that bad?
No. Like, I mean, I'm sure somebody said it, but it's horrific.
There are people that...
There's gasps.
You know what? Let me take that back, because there is a demographic of people who
they wholly deny it.
No, but there are a lot of anti-Semitic people who are very...
weird.
Yeah, so let me actually take that back. There are people that do it.
They're weird. But they're weird, though. But I feel like it's not socially acceptable.
But it's socially acceptable to say that about slavery. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be like, oh, well, why are we still talking about this? I feel like it's socially acceptable to say that about slavery, but if somebody was like, to the Holocaust, why are we still talking about this? Everybody would be like, what? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
when it's taught in history, someone took their kid out of school and was like, my kid doesn't want to learn about the Holocaust. Well, we don't live in the Deep South, but because apparently I feel like in the Deep South, it is, I feel like people do be pulling their kid out of school.
People be pulling their kids out of school for everything, even sex talk. Do they got genitals?
Yeah.
Why are you pulling your kid
out? That's true. That's a great example, right? They pull their kids out for sex talk and they pull their kids out for everything else to do. But anyways, I say all this to say that, you know, there are still people who really want to live in the fact that, you know, both didn't happen. But to get back to my points, my podcast episode.
Mm-hmm.
So when we add up like all of these events and all the acts of reparations over times, most of them actually, even ones we didn't talk about, most of them actually start with an apology and also just the minutes of wrongdoing, which is something that the United States has been kind of like sketchy about. So if we were to get reparations for slavery, the federal government would have to, like, that probably be the starter, right? So before anything kicks off, the federal government would probably apologize for slavery, Jim Crow, and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. That would probably be step number one. And then like step two would be like building a committee or something, or like a council, whatever you call it, government bureaucracy. But the first would be an apology, right? And we've never got it from the federal government. Mm-hmm. So just to talk about who have apologized for slavery. So on July 30th of 2008, the United States House of Representatives, I'm in your game, but my ancestors are crying right now. But the United States House of Representatives, they passed a resolution that apologized for American slavery and the subsequent discriminatory laws. And 9 states have apologized for slavery.
Mm-hmm.
9 of them daily. I'll list them out. So Alabama apologized, Connecticut apologized, Delaware, Florida, Maryland, New Jersey, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia are the only states that have apologized.
Come on, Maryland. They know where you're from.
Maryland. But they're the only states that have apologized for their involvement in the enslavement of Africans. Nobody else has apologized. It's like funny, but it's not. But nobody else apologized. Like,
but you know, I took a second. But it's not funny.
But it's right? But it's not. But it's not funny. It's a good joke. It's a great joke, even. But that's it. Nobody else to this day has ever apologized.
Oh my god.
So if you just think about that, but it's Pennsylvania.
What another percentage of that?
Pennsylvania, California. You can name them all. They never apologize. New York, they never apologize.
That is hilarious, bro.
Again, like, sucks to suck, dab. They're like, she.
Okay.
Couldn't let it happen to me, though. Like, literally, like, that sucks. But, yeah. So, basically, like I said, I was gonna say, we are a long ways away from reparations because it would really have to start with an apology. And when you have only 9 out of 50 states apologizing.
That's less than 10%. We both said it at the same time. That's less than 10%. It's less than 10%.
Shucks.
What the fuck? Yikesies.
No, it's more than 10%.
No, 9 out of... Oh, wait, 50.
It's more than 10%.
That would be 5.
Yeah, it's a little... It's a
don't
bit,
judge
it's,
us.
It's less than 20. It's less than
20%. It's less than 20%.
But still, but that, it's a long way to go. Because, like I said, for everybody to get the reparations, it would take a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we did all of that. So I feel like the part that, you know, the part who were like, well, Jay, you ignored this part. Well, I have one more point, then I have some questions for Taylor. I just thought it'd be fun and we can wrap it up.
Okay.
But basically, so we'll talk about the debate against reparations. So there, you know, there's always a lot of talk online. And I'm just going to acknowledge it. I don't think I have all the points. Again, if you are against reparations, you can write us. We like to talk to people, debate people, whatever. But basically, the debate against reparations, some of the main points I've seen is that no one alive was responsible. So the first debate against that is that reparations were paid to Native Americans. Again, they could do better. They could do a lot better. They did horrible on the reparations they received. But basically, like, they were given something, right? And the people who the land was stolen from are long gone. And these are their, like, third, fourth descendants. And they were still, a council was still established. They made the attempt to right their wrongs, even though the rights were not wrong. The wrongs were not righted. but they made an attempt, right? So I feel like that goes out the window. But I think the main thing is that, so if you think about it, right? So people say that today America is, air quote, like a melting pot. It's a lot more diverse. People who are immigrants, people who had no part in slavery came later on. Like, you know, you have no history in the United States and you were never here for the slavery. Mm-hmm. Like, why do I have to pay for the wrongs of America when I wasn't even here? My family wasn't here till like, what, 1950? But I need to pay reparations? You know, my family is immigrants from wherever. Why do we need to pay this when...
But they're not paying it, though.
No, I'm saying, but like, I feel like the thing is like, when we talk about reparations, right, it's like, who is paying it, right? So is it coming from tax dollars? Like, where do reparations come from? And I think a lot of times the conversation stems from it will come from taxes. So I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm not putting money in the pot because my family never contributed to, you know, to slavery. And we didn't contribute to Jim Crow. And we ourselves are people of color. Why would I contribute to this pot? And I think that's a big argument.
But here's the thing, though. I feel like it's giving... here's the thing. Don't I pay taxes that then go to, like, just... shout out to y'all Native Americans. But don't I pay taxes that then go to certain things that's for Native Americans, mm-hmm, and reservations and things like that? Am I mad about it? Absolutely not. That's my point.
But a lot of
Americans
aren't like that.
So what the fuck is wrong? Like, yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm a descendant of slaves, and I'm sure y'all taking my tax dollars and punching it on over to them and giving them, you know, yeah, discounts in college and things like that. I didn't get that. But like I said, I ain't no hater. So it's like, they deserve, so I'm just going to go on about my life. To literally, do you go through your fucking tax bill every year and figure out what you have given, yeah, to each demographic of people? No, you don't. But all of a sudden, because we're talking about people of color, yeah, you want to be nitpicky?
Yeah, and it's like dollars. It's like dollars, like how you kind of said, like, if I don't know for a fact that my tax money does actually go towards funding, like, you know, like reservations and like
people. I don't know, but I don't care.
I'm saying maybe does it funds like Native Americans going to call something like that. Like, it really is like nickels and pennies, right? So out of everybody, I feel like maybe I contributed $5 to that, right?
Right.
And for me, right, again, I feel like, to be honest, I feel like as African Americans, we should be the last people who pay that. But I don't mind because it is something that happened on the very land I live on. And right, that's just a side effect of that, right? And if I don't like that, and I feel like people like say, if you don't like that, then get out, right? I live on stolen land, whether you like it or not. You know, I was a part of it, right? So I didn't steal the land. My ancestors didn't steal it. But do I live on stolen land? I absolutely do. So yeah, me paying that $5 is a tax I pay because I live on stolen land. And if you don't like it, you can get the fuck out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people say that about a bunch of other stuff. And that's what I feel. I feel like people are making the argument. They're like, oh, well, I didn't do it. Well, you live on the land.
So it is what it is. I agree. I'm not bothered by that.
I'm not bothered. That's my thing too. Yeah. I'm not bothered. I'm not upset at all. Yeah. Man, take more shit. Help them out. Like, I don't give a fuck. That is a side effect on me living on stolen land. And that's that. If I don't like it, I can move to a country that was self-established and I can go over, I can do that.
Go to Switzerland, bitch. Right.
So that's what I'm saying. People say it about much lesser things, but like I said, if you don't like it, you always can catch a flight and move.
Mm-hmm. The second, not y'all using that language against them.
I'm just saying, like, to me it didn't bother me, but that's one of the main arguments. The second theory is the extreme wealth, or the generational wealth I previously talked about, that was made from slavery, was actually only held on by a select number of wealthy families. So again, during the Great Depression, I will say this, a lot of white families that may have previously had wealth did lose their wealth. So a lot of white families did lose wealth. And those that kept it through that and through the, you know, 300, whatever years we are past it, that only those select families that still have wealth or still, you know, profited from it, maybe people who, I don't know, like still own cotton farms or whatever you call it, plantations, those people are the only ones who should be responsible for reparations. So like they, like basically like most people shouldn't have to bear that weight, like the same thing kind of, because they themselves have not profited from slavery. Only those who profited from slavery should be taxed for the reparations or whatever, like their money pulled out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's really not like a crazy one, to be honest. But I think that
I don't agree.
Yeah. What is the next one?
Because the thing is, if you do that, it's like, how are we even going to like...
I think that one
how
is like...
How are we
like,
going to even split hairs so like
I,
that?
I think that one is like... It, to me, that one's interesting, right? Because I feel like you... So let me kind of run it back, actually. So basically, I think that one is interesting because, like I said, I've quoted a lot of like really random numbers, but I think I see people say it will be about like $3 trillion to pay people, or something in the trillions, to pay back the debt of the labor, right? And I don't think you can milk $3 trillion from select wealthy families. Like, I love the idea of like those who did it pay for it, but I don't think that that's enough. Like, I don't think you would get enough out of it. So I think that kind of, like, closes the bubble. Because I feel like... And to say that, like, only those that got wealth that exists today from slavery should pay for it. Well, we all benefit, right? Like, if you've taken a White House tour. If you've traded on Wall Street. Like, you've benefited. If you went to Georgetown Law, right? Or Harvard Law. Should you also pay reparations? Because you benefited from these estates. Like, if we start calculating everybody in who's kind of benefited from slave labor, does everybody now pay? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree. Because you know, y'all know me, if you listen to this podcast, I'm not in the business of taking up for white folks. But I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair.
What?
To pick out people specifically.
Oh, to pick
wealthy,
out people who pay.
Yeah, to pick out people who are overly wealthy and make them carry the burden of...
Well, it would be descendants. So it wouldn't be random wealthy people. It would be people who are the people who still have the wealth, I guess. So like I said,
I'm saying.
So I feel like it's kind of like...
I don't think that's fair. I really don't.
I kind of like weirdly... That one is like a weird one for me, right? Because it's kind of like... Again, I don't think there's enough money. If you even were to tap those people, I still don't think it like would be enough. But it's really hard to say. Because I feel like the weird thing is like... There were people who, like I said, who had their family was rich maybe in like 1910, right? And they had made a lot of money from slavery. But then they fumbled the bag into the 1960s and the family's broke. The family name was dead, right? But maybe there was a family who literally had done all of it in slavery and then they invested into the stock market, right? And it all went up, right? Mm-hmm. Like the majority of their wealth was made in the stock market. So then it's like, how much do you take? How much do you give? Like, it's like, it gets so, like I said, then you start doing all this math. But I feel like a part of me is like, maybe you should, like, take people who are directly the profiters?
You think so?
I don't know, because there are people, there probably are people whose families who own slaves, and now the family's name is dead broke, and they've been dead broke for years, and they're just regular Americans, like, living, like, among us, regular. Do we then, like, bankrupt these people? It's like, I feel like it becomes, like, a thing, but it's like, should a random family, I guess I think that's really complicated. I think that's kind of the easier way, is to just take the money from the direct people. So then, like, people can, like, shut up. But I also feel like it's, like, that's complicated.
I just feel like I'm not trying to garnish nobody's check or nothing like that. It's just, to me, I feel like the government should handle it. And then that should be the end of that. Like, I'm not trying to figure out which families did what. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because that's not how the Holocaust worked either way. Right. Not how they weren't like, oh, well, your granddaddy was doing this, so you pay. Yeah, I get
right.
what you're saying.
I just feel like as far as that's something that happened in this country... And as a result, this country should handle that issue. This government should handle that issue. I'm not trying to nitpick and say, oh, well, your family's super rich, so you got to give this. Mm-hmm. Your family's a little bit rich, so you just got to give this. No, to me, I feel like that's not nitpicky, but I feel like it's... I don't think it will work.
Yeah, I don't think it will work either. I think myself, I feel like the idea of it's like very nice and pleasant, but I don't think anyone is a trillionaire still from like slave labor.
No.
And are there even trillionaires like today? Like, is there anybody in the United States who is a trillionaire?
I mean, someone's coming up on it. Bezos is coming up on it, and it's like a whole thing because nobody else is really doing that. So, yeah.
But yeah, so besides him, right, I don't think you can milk it. And I do think that, I feel like this one kind of, made me grapple with it. I feel like that's the easiest solution. But I feel I'm comfortable with, paying, I don't know if I actually do, but I'm comfortable with my taxes being used to pay debts to Native Americans and things like that. And I feel like I just accept that because I live on stolen land. And I feel like I'm African American, so I'm I wouldn't do it. But I feel like other people should be the same acceptance to be like, I live on land or whatever, where this country made the majority of their money that kept them stable from slavery. So I feel like I just accept that I pay this, whatever. I know people won't, but
I was about to say, I feel like certain people are indignant and they don't care.
Well, I did see a study said that more white Americans are coming around to the idea that slavery, that reparations should be paid for slavery, which is interesting.
But I just feel like certain people are indignant. I feel like if you're a person of color, everybody's had their own struggle, like Native Americans, Asian Americans, African Americans, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, I know we're African Americans, but African people who are the descendants of African people have a thing, whatever that thing may be, that it's like, that's offensive. I don't like this. Oh, I don't like that, right? We're not the standard. But white people are so used to being the standard that if you try to tell them that, hey, that's not it, they're like, what do you mean? Like, not every white person, but I feel like it's way more common in them because they're so used to being the standard that they're like, they're not used to being offended by... Like, what the fuck they got to be... What you gonna do, call him a cracker? They don't have no historical reference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What you gonna do? Like, there's nothing to say to them. So, I feel like a lot of us are just so used to, being not the standard that if a Native American... for example, right? We're in the DMV. We're talking about the Redskins. Right?
Yeah.
Perfect example. If they're saying red skin is offensive, I'm be like, oops.
Yeah.
I got you. Not going to say no more. Meanwhile.
A lot of black people were not.
No, a lot of black people were not.
No. Because a lot of black people were not. A lot of black, Taylor. A lot of black people were not letting it go. And they still are.
And they're wrong.
And they
for
say,
but they're wrong.
They are wrong. Yeah. Still wear the jerseys. I'll point them out. A lot of black people ain't giving up
that
courage.
You.
Okay. Nah, they will not. People are not budging on that shit. But
they're wrong. But people are crazy about it. But I will say, I'll double down on it. White, black, Asian, whatever. You wrong for that. So if a Native American says red skin is an offensive term, then you need to just accept that and move the fuck on.
You do.
You accept it and move the fuck on.
I wish people
they're the commanders, bitch.
People need to move on from that.
The commanders.
People need to move on from that.
But I just feel like sometimes I feel like I use that example, but sometimes, you know, you can insert any example. I feel like people of color can relate to a certain thing that they have been called or referred to or things like that, their community that they don't like. And so when a person from another community says, I don't like that, they're more receptive to it, as opposed to white people. They're just used to being the standard their whole life. So they're just kind of like they'll argue you down about it. And I'm like, how are you going to argue me down about something that you have nothing to do with? I don't understand that. I really don't. But yeah, maybe that wasn't the best example. Because they'd be mad people of color saying, Redskins. I'm like, stop saying that.
They should change that name. Yeah, it's a lot of people.
I even said, you can ask anybody in my life. Ask my mama. I'm like, Redskins, the commander.
I thought we both were studying
No. Back in the day, I would say, Commanders, Washington team, whatever. Y'all gonna keep losing. I said, I'm like,
it's a curse.
I'm like, they got a root on you.
Is that racist?
No, it's not. No, because black people put a root on people. I said a root because that's what my family, that's the phrase my family used. I was like, nah, y'all got a root on you because y'all keep saying that wild ass shit. Yeah.
And it's it is. It definitely is. I feel like it is. And I feel like, I don't know if it's like, what is it? It's not racist, but like a stereotype to say that. But I definitely think it is. But I don't support the NFL, period. But that's
give Cap back his job.
Anyways,
you got any more points?
I'm about to bring this plane home.
Cap don't want his job. I think, though.
But I have some questions for Taylor. I just thought it'd be fun.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so basically, just some fun, some more lighthearted. Let's just finish it up. So basically, I have a question for Taylor. So Taylor, if today the United States federal government approves reparations, but they say we put it in the hands of Taylor. So the question is to you, who gets reparations? And if people do receive reparations, the people you pick out, how would you give them out? So would you give it out in the form of monetary and housing grants, tax benefits? How would you, basically, who would you give them to and how would you give out reparations? Like, would you give a lump sum? Would you give people the mule and the acres? What would Taylor do?
No. What you mean?
Do mixed people get it? Do one third? who gets it? So basically, hypothetically, right? So I'm Nigerian, right? And my dad came over during Jim Crow, and he experienced the whole kill of racism. It's about the way he looked, right? So they don't care he's from Nigeria. He too experienced Jim Crow and segregated schools and housing discrimination. Does he get money? So yes. Basically, I'm asking Taylor, who gets it and how do they get it?
Here's the thing. Direct descendants of slaves get all the money.
Okay.
Mixed people get
it. Do the families get it or everybody gets it? Like, I get a check. You get a check or does your mama get a check? Does your matriarch? Mama gets a check. Everybody gets a check. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't my mama the descendant of a slave? Yeah. Okay. She gets money.
But does your mama get more?
No.
Because she's closer to it.
No, that's not how that works.
Everybody gets a flat rate.
Flat rate. Okay. So everybody gets a flat rate, right? So that's that. Mixed people get half. Sorry,
quarter people. What the quarter people get?
Who
quarter? Like your quarter, like your grandfather was black.
Baby, get out of my face. You.
That's where it stops.
It stops.
I'm done.
Half or more. Like stop it, because you laid out look like a full white boy or white woman at this point. Okay, like okay. Like Meghan Markle. Like man,
she doesn't get reparations.
No, she wouldn't get it. In my America, Meghan Markle would not get
reparations. I can't breathe. Okay.
So, you know, you can pass, baby. If you can pass, you ain't getting a goddamn thing.
That's a good, that's not the paperback test. Just continue on.
You wear the whole prince. So, yeah. If you're biracial, you get half. If you're Black American, you get full. And I want to say, if you're like African American, you know what I'm talking about. I'm African American, but like Nigerian, Sierra Leone, whatever. Like if you're a first generation African descendant, if I gave you 50,
okay,
I give you half.
But how much is the money? Like you get to pick. How much money are you giving out?
$1 million.
Everybody?
No, I get 2.
Just you?
No, direct descendants. I'll
get 2.
So whoever's a halfer, if you're biracial, you get 1.
Jesus Christ.
Biracials get 1.
Okay.
What's the next question?
That's it. That's all I had. That's all. Okay. That was a fun rap. That is all. That's all I want now.
Y'all don't do me. That's I've been it. Drinking.
That's so funny. You want to hear mine?
What's up? Yeah. What's your opinion?
Okay. I wrote a little bit about it. I pre-thought about it because I literally.
That's your running paragraph.
I literally dropped. I know it's not. It's like 2 bullet points. I dreamt about it because I thought about like the idea of right. Like everybody gets a reparation check and Beyonce is like, I'm foregoing my reparation check and I'm donating it. So like, you know what I mean? I feel like there are like some well-to-do Black people who would be like, I'm not accepting my reparations check. You know what I mean? I just thought it'd be interesting if it acted this. I feel like I'd like to see a TV show where it happened in Watchmen, but it happened in like from the beginning of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Watchmen was good.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be interesting to see what people do their reparations. Basically, so in my opinion, I feel kind of the same. Similar way to what you feel like. So I feel like that again, it's really, that's the whole kill of slavery, and that was kind of one of the points of it, is it to, like, rip people from their ancestry. But I feel like I personally would only want to give reparations to the direct descendants of slavery and the direct descendants of, like, Jim Crow and that sort of discrimination. So again, like, maybe your grandpappy did come in 1910 from Nigeria, he would be eligible, or you being a descendant of that. But I think it would, like, me being a math person, I think it all would really be proportionalized. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, like, me being the direct descendant of slavery and Jim Crow, like, I would get more than somebody that just experienced, like, Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. I do think that the money could be given out in a host of ways. So I think that, like, again, like, talking about one of the things in the Black community, because we were exempt from education, I think that, like, I feel like a flat check amount should be given out. But I think that also, like, you know, just dollars don't mean, like, generational wealth, right? So if I give everybody $100,000, $1 million, we all can buy cars, we all can have nice dinners, go on vacations, and yeah, that bought me really great experiences. But I think for me, one of the big things that I resent about being a descendant of slavery is that generational wealth part. So I think that I would also try to put in programs that gave out the generational wealth. So maybe, like, things like getting residuals. So maybe if my family helped build Wall Street, we get residuals. We help build Georgetown University or Harvard Law, we get residuals from that. Mm-hmm. So we get a monthly check given to us that keeps it moving through generation and generation and generation to keep that generational wealth going. Mm-hmm. Lastly, I feel like the easiest, and, like, I thought about, like, so I feel like, again, I did kind of feel like, prior to having this conversation, like, I get that a lot of people, like, you know, I'm an immigrant or my family didn't own slaves, like, why do I have to give reparations? I think a great way, and not that I feel that sentiment is right or, you know, should be justified, but I feel like one good way to kind of leave it for all of us, I think that Black people or people descended slavery, again, and just, like, people who were victims of Jim Crow and discrimination, I think we should get a tax deduction, baby. I don't think I should pay no taxes. That's my big one. I don't think I should pay no taxes. Oh, and we can start that tomorrow. I don't think I should pay taxes. I think that was personal because I had to pay taxes. But I think I was just, like, it's mad. I think I was just big mad. And I was like, I don't think I should pay taxes.
No, but here's the thing, though. It's like, y'all said, oh, I was doing something. I'm like, I didn't steal America from Native Americans, but I still got to pay into this. I didn't fucking drop a bomb at Hiroshima, but I still gotta pay taxes for that. Y'all's putting people in internment camps. That wasn't me, but I still have to pay taxes for that, right? So
yeah, but
what the hell? Why are we different?
Right. I thought the whole thing about me not paying taxes for is more so about repay, and it would never repay the debt of my ancestors, right? Nope. But it would repay me. So I feel like I would never get back the amount of debt that's owed to me, but it would help to close that gap and it wouldn't take away from others. So the amount of tax I owe the United States government is crazy. So if they could just say, oh, Jay, you keep that money, that would help alleviate my pockets, other Americans' pockets. It would help a lot of people.
But Jay, here's the thing. I agree with you. But when you look at your pay stuff, can you imagine a year of tax-free checks?
It'd be forever. No, it'd be forever.
Okay, fine. Can you imagine
a
forever of tax-free checks?
And it would,
when I say I will be balling on you bitches,
and I think
I'd be balling.
It would level.
I don't even look at that shit no more because it makes me so sad. Y'all take so much of my money. Does.
I think it would level. I think it would for real level the playing field. I think it would take hundreds of years for Blackwood. We were, like, to close that wealth gap, but I think it's a good start. And I think it takes from nobody.
Tax-free, baby.
Hurts no one, helps everyone.
It hurts no one.
If I was, like, running for a car, everyone. Helps everyone. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the easiest way, the quickest way to go about it. And again, it may just be because it's taxes and I've been drinking. But I was like, you know what? That's it. That's the one.
It is.
Print me out my little Negro card, my tax-free card. I don't pay sales tax. I don't pay property tax.
God.
I don't pay car. I don't pay no more tax. Personal gains tax. I don't pay tax anymore.
No, tax season is stressing me because y'all don't know me.
It's stressing me.
But I have a regular job, and then I have freelance jobs, and then I have side jobs, and I'm just like,
go ahead, God. Go ahead and pay them the money.
What's the joy? God damn. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, okay. You know, it's okay. It's okay. But yeah, so a tax-free, like a forever tax-free, like when you look at your, like I said, I don't even look. Because when you look at your check and then you look at all the taxes that then came out your check, it just be like.
Yeah, I didn't think like.
No, are y'all dead ass right now?
Nobody hurts. Everybody gains.
Everybody gains.
Everybody. everybody, take that sales tech office. I'm like, excuse me, dude, I'm African American. Take off my check. At Target, I'm like, oh no, here's my car, baby.
Take it off. No more tax.
No, ma'am. My people were slaves. Take it off. But no,
imagine buying a $2,000 sofa.
Yeah.
And the tax is so much. Bro, yeah. Run that shit off.
Take it off. Go ahead, take it off for me, Sally.
I need that.
Right. And I think, for real, I feel like
we just. Interest too.
Yeah. Not interest.
I need interest off.
Taylor, that's not any of this works. No.
I'm fantasizing at this point.
That'd be a nice. You can write that in the bill. They'll X it out. But that's a nice little add on. But I think that would get me where I need to be. I don't think, and like I said, I'll say it again. I'll double down. I don't think that would generate generational wealth. Like I said, I think that there's a big problem in the Black community where we were not given the same tools as other people, so we don't really know how to. Well, we weren't. So basically, like, I feel like as African Americans, there was never enough income widely where we were all talking about, well, how are you going to invest your extra $1,000? How are you going to invest your extra $500? And I feel like the first thing is, before we had to start writing blank checks, is to have those conversations, mm-hmm. and to try to give people the tools to gain generational wealth, because I feel like a lot of Black people, you know, so bad in debt, everybody needs something. Everybody has a family member needs something, but the money would perish. It would basically just pay off debts, help this family member, that family member. There has to be conversations and programs put in place to actually help lift the community up, because, you know, most people, you know, would just start spending. I'm not just talking about Black people. I feel like if you give almost any group reparations, they're just going to start spending it. If it's a demographic that hasn't always had money, they're just going to spend.
It stimulates the economy.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to stimulate the economy. But anyways, that's basically what I had.
I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying that's what happened. I agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got any more points?
That's it. That's all I had.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Well, let us know what you think. This is a long episode. We're almost at 2 hours.
We could break it up, but yeah. I think it's fine the way it is.
No, I think it's fine. Okay, I think cool. People like it. And yeah, we're about to all go eat dinner. So yeah, follow us on Cognac Conspiracies Instagram. Follow us on cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. Period. I need my fucking money. So shout out to y'all. As far as reparations go, I need my check.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Tell us, would you be willing to pay more money to get reparations? Are you against it? Let us know. Do you want your reparations?
Let us know, man. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.